Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
Are you ready to talk designer babies?
I am stoked. I am researched. You talking Michael Kors, Coach? You got Bebe, Kate Spade, New York?
No, I was... Okay, let's learn about it. Yeah, this is Stranger Still.
Welcome to Stranger Still. Have I ever said that before?
No, you have not.
A podcast where we answer questions
that you never thought to ask. I'm Nick Wood.
I'm John Vegan.
This is going to be a weird episode, John, because we haven't recorded it in a while.
Yeah.
It's been a couple weeks because I was in big ol' Seattle, sleepless, didn't sleep at all.
Is that 2 weeks. O-L-E apostrophe?
Ol? Yeah. Sleepless in Seattle was not O-L apostrophe. But some news came out like right before I left. Do you know what that news was?
Right before you left?
Yeah. It has to do with our topic today.
Oh, no, I did not then.
Oh, well, there was a guy, came out on November 26th. A bunch of news articles came out about the first person to genetically modify a human baby successfully. And, like, the mom gave birth to these genetically modified babies. And it was from this Chinese biotechnical scientist by the name of He Jiankui. I hope I said that right. There was a pronunciation next to his name, so I'm going off of that. But his first name is spelled H-E, so just being the dumb American I am, like, I would come across his name in the articles and be like, he's research, and I'm like, it's his research, idiots.
Yeah.
Wow. Out for this episode. But he claims to have genetically modified two twin girls that the mother just gave birth to, and they're named Nana and Lulu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they need less sunlight, and they can stay out in colder weather.
Yeah, they're vampires now. Some people are skeptical of his claims for many reasons, the first of which is that there's no independent researchers out there that have, like, taken the girl's cells and looked for the genetic modification that he claims to have made. And his research findings haven't been published in any research papers or anything that can be looked into and further scrutinized by other scientists. But he says for a long time he's been testing genetic modification on mice and stuff, and he's on his way to patenting the techniques, which would then, I guess, lead to further scrutiny. And the process described is not only incredibly fascinating, it's also terrifying.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And you'd think that, like, it's the week before Christmas, we would be gearing up for that. But instead, this week we're going to fill you with the fear of
post-humans.
The future, post-humans and the future of technology. We're going to talk about designer babies, John.
It's pronounced bebe.
Designer bebes.
Very, very classy.
If Babies R Us was still around, they'd have to, like, sell the designer babies there, right? Babies R Us. It's the only place you'd be able to sell them.
You'd probably be able to do, like, BOPIS, you know? Buy online, pick up and stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to talk about what Head did and the future of what designer babies could look like. And then at the end, we'll just wrap up the whole thing by just talking about the implications of designer babies and why they terrify me. Are you along for the ride? Or are you just going to sit there and drink your Diet Dr. Pepper?
I'm still deciding.
Okay. So first of all, I want to say that oh gosh.
Just call him He.
It's hard with a plural, though. His process.
It's your dumb American tongue.
I know, I'm not...
Biologically, you have a perfectly capable tongue pronouncing that. If you were genetically modified to pronounce it better, I'd be impressed, but yeah. Use your dumb baby tongue.
His process.
There we go.
When you get into it, it sounds kind of shady, just on like ethical grounds, but for other reasons. Like, first of all, he lives in China, where cloning is banned, but technically genetic modification is not. So his stance on the whole thing is, it seems to be, I just wanted to do this to show that it could be done, and then get it out of the way and let society decide how to react to what I did. Which is, it just sounds
like
irresponsible.
Villain. Yeah.
Right. So what he did was he had seven couples that were trying, I guess, IVF, in vitro fertilization, So in the couples, all of the fathers had HIV, and all the mothers did not have HIV. So when the embryos were like one cell, he introduced the CRISPR gene editing tool, which we've talked about in the past, but I'll go more in depth in a second. But he introduced it to modify a gene by the name of CCR5. Which I know what you're thinking.
It's my favorite of the CCRs. CCR4 didn't really hold up for me, and I was really losing momentum after 3.
That's not where I thought you were going to go with, like, Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Their 5th revival.
Yeah. They're Lazarus at this point.
It's time to come back, new music.
John Fogerty's just that old now?
That's what he sounds like.
Okay. Sure. He sounds like an old prospector.
I have no idea what he looks like. His name's John Fogerty. He probably looks like an old prospector.
That's a really good point. So anyway, CCR5 is a gene that produces a protein that allows HIV to enter a cell. And HIV is a virus, obviously. It's in the name. And what a virus does, just to recap that, is they go into a cell, they take over the genetic code, trick the cell into duplicating the virus until the cell explodes and releases a crap load of the virus into the body, and then those viruses go on to do the same thing. So if you have a protein that allows the virus to come into a cell, that's just going to cause the spread of HIV, basically. So if, in a perfect world, we could take out the gene, the CCR5 gene that makes the protein, we would basically have HIV-resistant babies in humans subsequently. Because then the babies might grow up, if they're healthy enough, to go on to reproduce and then pass along that genetic modification.
Yeah, and it's really going to be worth your while for the extra tier of baby. If you're going to want to get that HIV-proofing upgrade,
yeah,
you got to really put out the extra bucks.
It's part of the platinum package.
Right.
It's like a dish's sling or whatever it is. If you want all the channels, you got to pay the extra.
I was thinking like a...
You're going a different direction?
No, that exact same thing. Like a car dealership.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. So he did that on 16 total embryos. 11 of them were attempted to be implanted into, I think, 6 different mothers. And eventually, like I said, 2 of those embryos took and became 2 seemingly healthy twin girls. Congratulations, models. It's a little tough.
These couples trusted him enough to not let them get HIV?
Well, that, I mean...
Was there a risk there?
I don't think so. I mean, like, with HIV, there's already a risk if you're having sexual relations with someone that's HIV positive. So, you know, that risk is...
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of reasons for them to distrust a man that's going to say he's going to make them super babies.
Well, there were clinical trials.
Because for someone that doesn't have any evidence of any of this happening...
He did it on mice.
Yeah. And he's got that documented and released that?
Yeah. Well, so the purpose of this test was, like I said, 1, to do it and get it out of the way. 2, to find a simple gene to edit, which would seemingly have little to no side effects, hopefully. And 3, reduce the chances of HIV being transferred to the children. So, I mean, if he was successful, then I guess there would be no chance of the mother getting HIV. I don't think that HIV can cross the placental barrier, whatever it is, but I don't know. So, you might be wondering how he did this. This is where we're going to talk about CRISPR gene editing.
YouTube.
He looked up a tutorial on YouTube, and there's, like, some, like, dad, like, with his phone, like, doing...
Yeah, it was vertical the whole time.
It was vertical, and he's like, and he's all like, right, hang on, I got to switch hands here.
No, make sure that your CRISPR is set to 300 degrees.
That's a deep cut for YouTube tutorials out there.
Is it?
There's always like those guys like showing you how to fix your car, and they got like a vertical camera, and they're like, all right, now you guys unscrew this, and they like drop their phone. They don't edit it out or do another take. Anyway, so he did this with CRISPR gene editing. CRISPR-Cas9 is like the official name, and we've glanced over it, I think, in the colorblind, maybe? I can't remember. We talked about it maybe in the how to cure the common cold. I can't remember. But the whole thing starts with E. coli, or...
Electromagnetic colon.
That's closer than I'm going to get. Escherichia coli. We'll ask Justin how to say it. I'm sure he knows. He's smart. So you might be sitting there thinking, doesn't E. coli give me diarrhea instead of modifying my genetic code?
What did you say?
Brilliant. You're on fire today, John. So there, that's true. Some types of E. coli do give you bad bouts of diarrhea, make you really sick. But there are some benign forms of E. coli bacteria. And in fact, E. coli occurs naturally in our digestive system. So you'll find it like in your intestines and stuff. And the reason that we use E. coli is because it's easy to acquire, easy to germinate, and it's one bacteria that has the CRISPR-Cas9 enzyme. And CRISPR stands for, I'm going to say it, but it doesn't really mean anything to me. Maybe it'll mean something to you.
Mm-hmm.
It stands for Clustered Regularly Interspaced Short Palindromic Repeats.
So they're like little robots that make more of themselves.
Beep boop, yeah, it's like Wall-E.
Beep boop beep.
Yeah, so this what enzyme's natural purpose is that parts of the bacteria will get infected by a virus, and then the enzyme, the Cas9 enzyme, copies parts of the DNA and like stores the lines of DNA in arrays, like in a database. If you have arrays of data, it's like that. Then, if the bacteria encounters that exact line of genetic code again, the enzyme goes in and snips out that DNA and basically destroys the virus by doing that. This is a part of our immune system. It's obvious to see why that's helpful. You just, like, you're scanning along different cells or viruses. You come along this genetic code and you're just like, done. That virus is no longer
clip it out, yeah. Like when you're putting LED strips together.
Yeah. So there's three little caveats to the CRISPR Cas9 system. The first of which is that it doesn't just have to be a virus that it snips the DNA out of. If it ever comes across that line of genetic code, no matter where it is, it's going to snip it out. Which means the second part is that we could do this on humans.
Yeah.
And the second part is really that we can replace the DNA code with something if we want to. We don't just have to snip it out. We can replace it with new genetic code. And we can tell the bacteria, this is the third part, we can tell the bacteria what DNA to seek out and what to replace it with. So some very smart people figure this out, and then we can do this on human genes. So I guess kind of to better explain how you use CRISPR gene editing to do this, we can look at the CCR5. It's not the perfect example, but we'll try. So some scientists, what they do is they go through the human genome, basically, and try to figure out what part of the genetic code is making, in the CCR5 example, making this protein that allows HIV viruses to enter a cell. They take a benign virus, I don't know, like the common cold, and then they empty it out, like a vaccine, like how vaccines work.
Yeah.
You take all the harmful stuff out of a virus, they fill it up with the genetic code that they want the CRISPR to go seek out, and then they go infect the E. coli with that virus. And they say, basically that says, hey, this is the quote-unquote dangerous genetic code that we want you to seek out and snip out. Make sense so far?
So yeah, but at what point can you do this? At what point can you do any of this process?
It's like as long as you have like an empty virus that you can fill up with other stuff and E. coli, you're good to go, man.
So I could go and do this on a full-grown adult,
yeah.
Change their genes up.
Yeah.
So my whole thought process while you're telling this is the horrors of warfare in the future.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll get there. I will save that for the end of our episode.
I'll save it because I have an idea. But.
Yeah. So the other part of it, though, like if we want to, we can tell the E. coli to replace that genetic code, like I said, with a different line of genetic code, which we could use. Like I think the reason that I think we talked about this on the colorblind episode is we can say, hey, this is the genetic line of someone who is red, green, colorblind or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is the genetic code of someone who sees full color. So clip out this genetic line, replace it with this genetic line.
That's just, it's too weird because when I said I had an idea, that's what my idea was yeah. Colorblindness.
Yeah. Weaponized. We've talked about this before.
Well, no, I just
weaponized.
Yeah. So imagine dropping a bomb that makes a whole city colorblind temporarily for a month or something.
Yeah.
And then having special camouflage that you go and infiltrate.
Yeah.
And they can't see you.
Yeah. Actually, that works the other way around. Have you ever heard that? Colorblind people are better at identifying camo.
Yeah. Because it doesn't match the natural surroundings.
Because they like can identify the patterns easier.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so the way that they use this is they make that, they tell the E. coli, this is what you're looking at, replace it with this. For the CCR5, they put the embryos in a petri dish, and then they take the E. coli, they put that in the same petri dish, and they kind of just have to hope that the bacteria finds the genetic code and snips it out or replaces it. And we've been experimenting, we as a civilization have been experimenting on CRISPR gene editing on animals for a while now, hoping to cure like any number of diseases. Like if anything, is done at a cellular level from DNA proteins, or you can be genetically predisposed to it. We could potentially fix that with CRISPR gene editing. As long as we found the right code, like in a perfect world, if we mapped out the entire human genome and knew exactly what did what in the human body, we could fix everything. Yeah, like you could cure male pattern baldness. You could cure, in some, like obesity was one example that was given. If you're genetically predisposed to it, you could cure diabetes. You could cure cancer. You could cure Alzheimer's.
Boredom.
You could cure boredom.
Make people in a constant state of bliss.
Are you bored right now? Are you trying to tell me something? There's a lot wrong with CRISPR gene editing, and I guess just gene editing in general. There's more methods, but first of all, most scientists will say that we are far from ready to be editing genes, and He was irresponsible for doing what he did. I kind of agree with him. I found this article. This is going to be a little bit of a ride. It was on futurism.com. They cited a Wall Street Journal article that was behind a paywall, so I couldn't read the whole thing, so I have to trust what futurism.com said.
Oh, no.
But basically, the article pointed out that we have no idea what kind of side effects one small change in the genetic code can make. And this is how Futurism put it. They said, the Wall Street Journal article describes a number of examples of geneticists using CRISPR to modify livestock to exhibit favorable traits. In each example, the editing worked, but it also produced unintended side effects. Rabbits and pigs modified to grow leaner also grew enlarged tongues and extra vertebrae. It's pretty bad. Goats modified to grow longer cashmere wool grew too large in the womb for natural births, while cattle that scientists modified to sport lighter coats died as calves. So, like, you're trying to remove, like, in the rabbits and pigs, you're trying to remove the fat and make them more muscular so they taste better. And now their tongues are weird, and they have an extra vertebrae, so they can't walk right.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah. So one thing that He might say is that those were huge changes, and with the CCR5, it's a small line of genetic code that he's replacing, so there's less chance for this kind of fallout. I don't think I necessarily agree with that.
Does this guy go online? Like, what's his support group like, where he thinks that the... yeah, everyone would be cool with it. Like, what?
He works for a university in southern China or near Hong Kong. And I believe he has a business with biotech as well.
All right. Well, we're getting him on the show.
Come on the show.
You think he speaks English?
I think so. He went to... college and in two different American universities, I think.
I'm gonna get him on.
Yeah, do it. So there's another problem where cells might not carry the modification and other cells might. So that's called mosaicism. So part of it is like clean and symmetrical, and part of it is just a cluster bomb. So in the cases of like CCR5, it just means that some cells could still let HIV in. They might still produce the protein that lets HIV into the cell, while in other cells it does not. So you might still get HIV. In other cases, like if I just came up with a random example, if you wanted to give humans six fingers,
yeah,
some cells in charge, like when you're in the womb, the stem cells in charge of making the sixth finger might have the modification. Some of them might not. So then when you're done being formed as a human, you got like half a finger.
Yeah.
That's a problem. So
there's multiple cells that have to work in unison, and it's random if they're capable mm-hmm. of turning the
exactly.
switch on or off.
Yeah. So, of course, you always have the controversy of you're playing God, that kind of argument. It's like the whole point of the original Jurassic Park movie.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of split on this one because, of course, if we got gene editing working perfectly with no side effects whatsoever, it would be amazing to rule out things like HIV or cancer or colorblindness or whatever, you know? But humans wouldn't stop there. They'd start like getting cosmetic about it. They'd be like, well, we got to cure obesity, and we got to make sure everyone has the same eye color, and we got to make sure that everyone has the same hair color. And then I start to look back on our history.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that sounds a lot like Trump.
Oh,
wrong name. Freudian slip. It sounds a lot like eugenics,
yeah.
Which we kind of, like a lot of people will call gene editing the modern eugenics. And I think there's an argument to be made there, but we kind of threw all of that out the window when we saw what Hitler did with it.
Yeah.
And that's for a good reason that we threw all that out. It's just, it's a slippery slope, and humans are stupid, and they're always going to be like, well, we can make humans better, but who's going to be the one to decide what's better?
Bill Nye.
Maybe. We could just...
just assign him. I think he'd do
Bill
a decent
Nye
job.
Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson.
No, Neil deGrasse Tyson's on the...
Oh, yeah, sorry. Oh, dang it. That news came out while I was gone, and I'm just catching up
on
news.
He's pending. Well, yeah. Bill Nye gets it.
Dog-ear that for now. So anyway, if we're going to make designer babies, there's going to be a lot of inequality. Like, have you seen the movie Gattaca?
Mm-hmm.
That's like NASA. This is like the weirdest accreditation that movies ever received, or a movie's ever received. But NASA was like, this is the one sci-fi movie most likely to come true.
It's Gattaca.
Yeah. And if you guys don't know, it's about, I forget what the exact term they use in the movie is, but like gene editing is a new thing and designer babies is a new thing. And parents can decide to have their baby genetically modified to their exact specifications, or they can opt out of it. I think they're like valids and invalids or something like that. I don't remember the exact name in the movie, but like the baby grows up, his parents opted out of it, so he's an invalid or whatever. And he's like a second class citizen. He's not equal to everyone else because everyone thinks that he's genetically inferior to them. So he gets all the bad jobs. He's like a janitor, and that's the kind of jobs that people like him get. So there's like this, and you think about it, we already have a lot of social injustice. The same thing would happen here.
Yeah.
And not only that, but like, you got to consider, we talked about this, I think, with Josh Clark, that only the rich would have access to it at first. Like, only the rich would have access to creating designer babies for like the first 5 years that it was a thing.
Oh, and they're going to use their superior baby brains eventually to overthrow us even more and remain in power.
Yeah.
Yeah. It becomes really scary politically.
Yeah. Which we'll actually, I think after the break, we'll talk about why this scares the bejesus out of us.
But remember that first time you said that? And
bejesus?
Yeah, and then we had a bejesus joke in like the first or second episode ever.
Buzz.
Look at that. Look how far we've come.
Buzz, your girlfriend. Remember that line from Home Alone? This is a Christmas episode.
Oh yeah, there you go. Work it in.
So alongside eugenics, there's the idea of human experimentation, which is another one I'm torn on, and I don't know if...
You think humans should experiment?
No, human experimentation, like experimenting on humans, which I think objectively this is human experimentation, right? Like you're working with embryos in the beginning, but eventually those two embryos became humans, and now they are potentially carrying around a genetically modified DNA strand. That's human experimentation, right?
I don't know. I thought you were talking about something that happens in college, and I'm not ready to talk about that.
That's for Strangers Still After Dark.
Okay.
But there's so many arguments about this.
How you feel about animal?
Right, exactly. So yeah. I've always looked, they're like, oh, they tested the makeup on animals. I'm like, why didn't you test
it
on humans?
It looked fabulous. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
But look at this rabbit. Look how sexy this rabbit looks now.
They're like, no animal testing. I'm like, why didn't you test it on humans? It's for humans. Like, but at the same time, like, what if something bad happens to that human? But what if something bad happens to that
rabbit?
Yeah.
So besides looking really sexy to other rabbits.
Yeah. That's where I'm torn on that. But at the same time, like, the parents knew what they were getting into. This whole experimentation that this scientist went through was consensual. He wasn't duping them.
Yeah.
And they presumably knew all the possible side effects that would come from this. But on the other hand, I do think it's a slippery slope and irresponsible just to like be like, hey, I'm throwing this out into the world. Now you decide how to react. That just seems really dangerous.
Sounds like a Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, like, it totally
philosophy.
Does.
Although, just come on the show.
Yeah. Well, we'd love to have you on.
I'm going to email him.
Yeah. So,
and bring the twins.
Bring the twins, Nana and Lulu.
We'll get extra mics, yeah.
Yeah.
How old are they?
They were just born.
Like a week ago?
Yeah, or like 3 weeks ago.
We could get like some GMO baby sense.
Yeah.
And
if you're going to genetically modify them, just make them start talking at like age 3 weeks.
Well, maybe we can record the babies crying or something and then put it up for our Patreon. People subscribe, you can hear genetic, and we'll get the exclusive rights.
Yeah, exclusive rights.
To be studied.
To Nana and Lulu.
Mm-hmm.
That's just human exploitation. I don't like that.
It's called good marketing, Nicholas.
Good marketing?
Leave a review.
That's all I got on gene editing. I think we should take a quick break because I need to sip some Diet Dr. Pepper, as do you. Not a sponsor.
I'm out, fella.
I mean, if you want to. Oh, I got some.
You got some room on that lid?
Yeah. and then we'll come back and we'll talk about our concerns with genetic editing. John, where can people find us?
StrangerStillShow.com.
And you can find us on like iTunes and leave us a nice review.
Yeah.
If you'd be so kind.
Or a mean one. I'm not like...
Mr. Grinch?
Yeah.
Get it? It's a Christmas episode.
I'm not taking a hold of your decision-making skills. You could leave us a bad review. Just make sure it's 5 stars.
And hey, you know what? Just because we love you, we'll read it on the air, even if it's mean.
Yes.
Yeah. We appreciate you giving us the chance to fill your day and change your mind, except if you call me close-minded.
Right. And at the end, you could say what kind of voice you'd want us to read it in.
Yeah.
And we'll read it in that voice.
That's quite the
Nick will do that, specifically, Nick.
I can do a passable Kermit the Frog. Most people can, but I can be like, hey, Miss Piggy, how's it going?
Yeah, but I'm thinking like motivation. Like, what if they said, I love this show. It's really great. It covers a lot of topics. Read it as if you just found out that you won the lottery, but you have 1 hour to get there and you have to finish.
Oh my God, yeah. This podcast is the best thing I've ever heard.
And also you're on steroids.
Okay.
Well, no, you did that the first time.
Yeah. Hey, you know what, listener out there? You could support this show by going to patreon.com/flyingmachine.
Mm-hmm.
That's the network that we're a part of.
Do you ever say flying over to flying machine?
Oh my God, that's so much better.
Isn't that so, like, why haven't we been doing that?
Oh my God, we're stupid. All right, flying over to patreon.com/flyingmachine. Or go to flyingmachine.network or go to strangerstillshow.com/shop. All of those, you can find the Patreon there, kick a few bucks our way, and that'll help us make the show even better than it already isn't. And you get a bunch of, like, exclusive stuff.
Yeah, you can hear me talk about my dad, with my dad.
Yeah, we've talked about, what did we just talk
Your dad?
About? Yeah. Man, I don't remember. We've talked about stuff.
Being dads.
Oh, yeah, that's what I talked about most recently. And sometimes, last month we started doing live stream events exclusive to Patreon supporters.
Yep, we've played games and people have tuned in to watch all that stuff.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I want to bake Christmas cookies.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I'll do it tonight.
And stream it for our Patreon?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want to do that and just, like, decorate Christmas cookies with you guys. So, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But go there and do that. John.
Still who I am.
You haven't been modified yet?
I haven't been modified. I'm still John, not John Plus.
Let's talk about genetic editing and how terrifying it is.
I thought we just did for, like, I can't read the, was it 38 minutes and 2 seconds?
Well, we edited out a lot. So.
Okay.
Less than that. But, I mean, like, how do you feel about it? Are you as morally split as I am?
I have this, like, weird desire that I know that I'm not going to live forever. My time on Earth is finite.
Yeah.
And I want to experience as many of the peaks of science as I can.
Yeah.
And it's really frustrating to have to be patient.
Yeah.
But we might need to be a little bit more patient.
Well, for me, this whole thing is like...
But I'm for it, overall.
Like, overall?
I think in a safe environment, I think it could be done correctly.
Nothing's ever safe, though. That's what scares me. Mm. So, like, for what it comes down to for me is this is if we could genetically modify even animals safely and perfectly, let alone humans, that's an incredible scientific discovery.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, I can't even think of any other discovery that comes close.
Electricity's real.
Electricity. Like, it's on par with, like, I don't know, landing on the moon and cell phones and language and wheels and stuff.
I mean, all of that. And electricity being real.
But at the same time...
You know, because there used to be folklore about electricity.
Yeah.
And people thought it was just a legend.
But it, like... At the same time, I know how humans are, and I know how, first of all, greedy they are, how irresponsible they are, and how stupid they are. And it just, like, it scares me. Like, it's like the whole catalyst of I Am Legend, where they go, the objective is to cure the common cold, and they do it with an airborne, like, benign virus, like this, like CRISPR gene editing.
Yeah.
And then somewhere along the line, not because of human intervention, it's a virus, and viruses mutate, and it mutates into something that turns everyone into vampires. Like, how are we supposed to control that?
Yeah.
That's, like, one part of it that scares the crap out of me. But the other part of it is, like, if we were to weaponize this, if we make, like, an airborne CRISPR gene editing device, we could just be like, hey, go start snipping out DNA that is beneficial to living. And when we spread that through a Vietnam village, like we did Agent Orange, and then the whole village is just... dead.
Yeah.
Like, that's terrifying. And the war industry is huge enough that they could do that, potentially.
Yeah. And they are doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as, like, researching new weapons, and I'm sure there's stuff like that we don't know about, too, that goes on here and there, but, like...
Bioweapons.
Would we have a vote in this? Like, how would this come up? Would there be...
Well, that's the thing. Like, it'd be completely privatized.
It'd be privatized,
wouldn't it?
So don't you think that if there was a way to make a safer environment, maybe a virtual environment, where you can make it advanced enough to mimic reality and then start doing
then
baby
we make
tests.
Our own civilization like Rick and Morty?
Yeah, just do it that
just
way.
Just supply a cell phone or whatever. Like, that's what it'd become.
Well, if you get a situation where it's like researched in an enclosed environment, maybe it could be publicized to benefit people in a certain way. Like, if you have the option to cure anything and everything, shouldn't we kind of have to morally be obligated to start looking into it?
Yeah.
You know?
But then, like, 15 years, 20 years down the road, when, say, the government's doing that, they're doing the good work, they're like, hey, we can cure cancer with this stuff. Then they're like, hey, we're running out of funding on this because there's no more cancer on it. There's no more cancer on the Earth. So we're gonna let people privatize it like we've done for space travel.
Yeah.
So now people are just like, okay, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. And then we get people like, hey,
I'm going to go to this Reddit forum and 3D print myself.
A baby.
Yeah.
That's what scares me the most, I think, is the ethical implications, which is who's to decide what the perfect human is? That's it.
Yeah.
That's the end of my sentence.
But there are so many black and white things, too, that you can just point to and get rid of. Like, maybe you've got an outbreak of some disease in another country where they're in poverty.
Yeah.
And you just say,
like malaria or something.
Yeah, now no one can get malaria ever again. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, you're born and you are unsusceptible to malaria. You can never get it.
Apparently, CRISPR gene editing is cheap, which is why everyone's, like, working with it.
Yeah.
Because, again, like, I'm not smart enough to do this, but you take a virus, you take E. coli, and you have CRISPR gene editing. So, I don't know.
Let's order some and do it on our Patreon.
All right.
A live stream.
StrangerStillShow.com/shop.
So, what ability would you give to a baby?
That's a really good question. Maybe wings? Wings would be cool.
Wings would be really cool, but then the marketing, like, you could probably be like little cherub commercials, like little, like, you could sell like candy and stuff.
Yeah.
Make them like a real life mascot, show up at events.
Yeah.
Do you think they'd actually be big enough to fly or like?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Like Angel from X-Men. What would you do though?
I would probably like, make their nose removable so they could really freak out uncles if they got your nose. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe it grows back like a starfish, like a little baby, like a tiny nose.
Yeah.
It takes a couple weeks. Gross.
Yeah, make humans...
Or they can't get malaria. I don't know. One of the two.
One of the two. Whichever one is more important.
Mm-hmm. Or cheaper.
Probably a removable nose.
Right.
I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
This is Stranger Still.
I give you... the incredible flying machine!